way, influencing your elected officials. Are your elected officials working for you? Do they represent your interests and concerns? If you had the power, what would you change in your community, city, or state? Did you know ordinary citizens have tremendous power? Be it one voice or many, you can accomplish great change in government and society. This special presentation features highlights from the October 2005 workshop, Learn Citizen Power, sponsored by the Kirkland Senior Council. This interactive workshop focused on how to become involved in civic affairs and specific tools for advocating and getting your needs met. Advocacy means just speaking up. Now here's how you do it. Nancy Amade, Director of the Civic Engagement Project, University of Washington, presents five simple ways to incorporate advocacy into your busy life and demonstrates how one person really can make a difference.
I'm going to take you through five easy ways to be involved in advocacy and fit advocacy into your lives. Because I know from experience that a lot of people feel that it's just a bit too daunting. So the first thing you want to do is be sure that you are signed up to get legislative alerts from an organization that reflects your values and your views. Now, it may be the AARP, or it may be the state senior lobby, or it may be the Older Women's League, OWL, whichever group you feel most comfortable with that's tracking the issues you care most about, sign up. Tell them you want to be on their legislative alert list. The advantages of this are really clear. Those are people who have somebody monitoring what's going on. They are in Olympia, they are in Washington, D.C., they are watching. And they will send out brief things to tell you when your voice is needed. They even give you a sample message. You don't even have to come up with the message. You just have to tailor it and put it in your own words. So that's great. That's number one. Oh, and by the way, they're all free. We've already taken care of number one. It'll help you to get the vocabulary in your head. You'll start noticing what issues are going to be hot, what's going to be happening. They'll be telling you how the process is going to unfold. Next year in our state, we have a 60-day session. It's going to start in January, January 9th. It's going to be over very fast. So you want to be sure that you know week by week what you have to do to get your issues taken care of, to get that capital math on your side. Okay, that's number one. Four more to go. Second one, communicate. We are in something called a representative democracy. That means we have to tell our elected representatives how we want to be represented. They may be geniuses. They cannot read our minds. We have to tell them. And we have several simple devices. You can call. Well, I shouldn't even tell you. What are the three ways that you learned in seventh grade social studies? How do we communicate with our elected officials? I gave one of them away already. You can call. You can write. Email call accounts with the writing. We'll stick that in there. What's the third way? Voting. I'm assuming you're all going to vote. I'm not even going to put that on the list. You can call, you can write. What else can you do? You can visit in person. Absolutely. While they're home in the district now or later when they're in Olympia, you can talk with them in person. Very effective thing to do. In our state, here's one of the great things. We have a toll-free line to the Capitol. Ha! Huh. Whoa! It is not only toll-free, it has language translation and TTY for anybody with hearing difficulty. It is a fabulous service. It is the kind of service that very few other states have. It's wonderful. And it has, during the session, 18 operators standing by to take your calls. This is better than Home Shopping Network. And they are the nicest people in the world, and they are patient, and they are terrific. One Saturday, I called the number, and then I got put on hold. It must have been a busy day for them. And by the time the operator came back and said, State Capitol, how can I help you? I had totally forgotten why I was calling. So I'm fumbling around, and she thought I was nervous, and she said, "Is this your first time, dear?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Do you know who your legislators are?" I said, "No." She said, "Don't worry, honey, I can help you." She asked me my address. She told me who my legislators were. She said, "You've got very nice ones." "Oh, they're very nice." "Don't be afraid. You can send them a message." And then she walked me through the process. She was as nice as she could be. And then at the end, she said, "Now, let's just be clear. You want this to go to your senator and both your representatives?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "And shall we throw in the governor?" And I said, "Throw in the governor." And she threw in the governor. In one toll-free call, I had sent a message to my senator, both representatives, and the governor. Remember, the governor can sign her veto after it goes through the process. Very important. Didn't take very long. Very nice. That toll-free number is 1-800-562-6000. This is sounding more and more like Home Shopping Network. 1-800-562-6000. Just in case you don't have a telephone, I brought some. No carrying charges. No monthly charges. Long distance, easy. Put it on your computer, put it on your telephone, put it on your refrigerator, put it wherever you want. I think I have enough, and if I don't, I left a template behind so that you too can go to Kinko's. You too can copy those little guys on cardstock, and then you can spend your evenings in front of the television cutting them out. So, communicate. You can email, you can write, you can use the telephone, toll-free line. It's absolutely wonderful. One quick tip about writing emails. And the staff down in Olympia and the staff in Washington, D.C. have practically begged me to repeat this. They say, tell people, please put your real name and your home address. Fungal at AOL does not tell them that you are a constituent. Do not just leave the little cutesy name up there, you know, grandma's girl or whatever, grandpa loves you. That doesn't tell them that you're a constituent. You got to put your real name and your home address. Now, okay, so this is two things. You're going to get on an email list so that you know what's happening and when your voice is needed. And then you're going to use the telephone or your computer or your pen and pencil or whatever to send a message and communicate. When they tell you your voice is needed, do it. Third thing, help other people to do it. Take those little telephones. Make bunches of them. Back when you get the handouts, you're going to see the template for it. Take it to Kinko's. Make piles of them. Take them everywhere you go. Explain this to other people. Encourage them. Help them to be able to be involved. It's a great thing to do. And I've even got a device for you that you can use. You can use it here at the community center. You can use it wherever you work or play. You can where you play bridge, where faith communities, I don't care, PTA meetings, whatever. Wherever you go, you can set up a Take Five table. It's a way to help other people be advocates in 5 minutes or less. Take five for kids. Take five for health care. Take five, whatever. You just make a hand-lettered sign that says, take five for housing. Take five for whatever you care about. Take five for the salmon. I don't care. Whatever the issue, you put up a sign. And then on the table, you put everything that people would need to be able to send a message in 5 minutes or less. You could take the alert that was sent out to you, the one you signed up for in number one with the sample message, put that out and say, here's a sample message. Just copy this or put it in your own words. Pad of paper. It can be a yellow pad. It doesn't have to be fancy stationery. A cheap box of envelopes if you want to do it by hand. If you have a computer and a laptop, put the laptop out. People can send an email message. Bring a cell phone. Somebody could simply call the toll-free line. Leave a message. You've got the sample message right there. Put everything on the table. If you're getting those email alerts, you've probably also gotten a fact sheet or some other information. Have it out. It's easy. It helps other people to do it. And I can tell you this works. students of mine do this now regularly at school about issues that they care about. And I'll tell you, every time they do it, they put their own little twist on it. You know, sometimes they'll do something that's a little bit unusual, and I think, wow, is that going to work? And lo and behold, it does. So feel free to modify it, do it any way you like. But make sure that you help other people be involved. So I don't know if you've been down to Olympia or to a city council meeting or a county council meeting, but if you have, you know that you are not allowed to be walking in with a big protest sign. They would ask you to leave it outside, right? But you want to be sure that people know why you're there. The simple point is you want to advertise your issue, right? We walk around all the time with stuff that advertises some clothing manufacturer, Nike, Microsoft, something like that. Well, advertise your issue. So here are two simple ways. One is that since you are not allowed to carry a protest sign in, you are, however, allowed to bring your papers with your fact sheets and information and stuff that you care about, and you bop in, boop, boop, doo, 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 yes, indeed, And then you go into the candidate forum or you go into the hearing room down in Olympia where they're holding a hearing or something, and you just get so fascinated by what they're saying that you just clutch your folder to your chest. Gosh, this is the most interesting thing I've ever heard. Wow. And as you're walking around the building, you walk around and you say, isn't this a gorgeous building? I'm just always reminded what a gorgeous building. The tiles on the floor, have you ever looked down at the tiles? Or up in the ceiling, isn't that ceiling gorgeous? Just gorgeous, yes. Everybody's going to get the point. And even if you're shy, if you're not as hammy as I am, you don't even have to talk. I've brought people from programs that are for people with mental illness who are living in the community. They come to Olympia with me. We went. They started outside. They were terrified. I said, you don't have to talk to anybody. Just carry your folder. The only trick is you don't carry it like this, right? You carry it like this. You don't carry it like this. You carry it like this. I've brought people who don't feel very confident with their English. I've brought people who've never been to Olympia before and who are terrified. I've brought homeless youth. Lo and behold, people ask you, oh, why do you have that message about we care for kids? What does that mean? And then you start talking to people about your issue. Maybe because your grandparents, it may be because your parents, it may be all kinds of reasons. But you get a chance to talk to people. It's a great thing to do. Now, by the way, this is low cost, right? Very low cost. Similarly, you can wear a conspicuous badge. You have a bright color, something conspicuous. And do not put a lot of little information so that they have to commit sexual harassment to find out what your badge says. That is not what you want. You want like one word, hunger, / or healthcare, yes, or something simple, so that anybody will see the message easily. So let's assume that I'm a politician at a candidate forum, and there are a whole bunch of us up here, and there are a whole bunch of you out there. And right in the front row, we have a fellow who's wearing a badge that says, healthcare, yes. And then I spot this same ugly color back there, and back there, and back there, and back here, up here. I don't even have to go up close to read it. I don't even have to be close enough to read it on the lady in the back. Because I now know anybody wearing that color with one or two words on it is here from the same group, right? Who else is going to have this? Now, you have just sent a political signal to the candidates. Because I now know that people in my district who have the power to vote for me care about health care, are organized enough that several of them came out tonight, and they're listening to what we have to say on that topic. And even if I wasn't planning to say anything about healthcare, you can better believe I am probably going to say something about healthcare once I see these badges. Again, it's low cost, it's easy, it conveys your issue, and you get on somebody's radar screen. If you are part of an organized group and you have a position on an issue, bring your fact sheet, bring your position paper, and make sure that you have enough copies to give to each of the candidates. And if you don't want to walk right up to them, all of them will have volunteers or aides or something who work with them. Give the copies to them. This stuff is so wonderful. By the way, it works. It actually works. I see it happen all the time. Okay, so before I get to the last one, I want to tell you a classic political story. And if you don't remember anything else I say, I want you to remember this story and tell other people. This is the butter story. Okay. Once upon a time, there was a fellow who was newly elected to the United States Senate. And after his election, he got kind of vain about this. And the first time he was invited to a fancy banquet, he figured, I better go early because people will want to come and see me, right? So here he is in this big hotel banquet hall, only nobody came early to see him. So he's sitting there all alone. The only other person in the room is the waitress, and she's doing her job. This is a fancy dinner, so they're not going to share the butter plate, right? Instead, everybody gets a butter plate, and she is going methodically about her work. Every time she sees a plate, she puts one pat of butter. One plate, one pat of butter. One plate, one pat of butter. One plate, one pat of butter. Finally, she gets to him. He says, excuse me, I really like butter. I think I could, you know, have another pat of butter. She says, sorry, sir. We treat everyone the same. One plate gets one pat of butter. She goes right on. He was miffed. I think that's the polite version. He looks around. There's still hardly anybody in the place. So he gets up and he comes over to her. He says, excuse me, maybe you don't know who I am. I'm a United States Senator. She said, maybe you don't know who I am. I'm the one that gives out the butter. Now, there's a reason for me to tell you this story. It is because votes are like butter, and you are the ones that give out the butter. You have something that every candidate from school board right up to president of the United States wants. They want your butter. These are the only people in America who want a cholesterol hit. So if you walk in the door and you say, hi, I'm Nancy and I live in your district, a little voice says, butter. And I'm part of a senior group in the community, and we probably have about how many members do you have? Or how many people show up? 150?
In a regular day here?
Yeah.
Oh, a couple hundred.
Oh, and we have about a couple hundred active members. Butter, butter. It does not hurt, by the way, that you are part of an age group, many of you, that votes in big numbers. Those of you who do know not, you're part of an age group that does not vote in big numbers, get moving, but, you know. No, I mean I want you to get moving and get the other people voting. I don't want you to leave town. I want you to vote. Okay.
Get older.
There's got to be a better way. Got to be a better way. Okay. And if you say, and our senior group is part of a larger coalition of healthcare providers and home care providers, we probably touch the lives of several thousand people in your district. Now, that's the cholesterol hit. That's what you want to do. Every time you talk to anybody who is a candidate for or in elective office, make sure they know you've got their butter. And just in case, don't say, hi, I've got your butter. This would be very tacky. Plus, if they haven't heard the story, they'll just think you're weird. So you don't want to say that. But just introducing yourself and reminding them that you're somebody who lives in the district is really important. And if on one of those badges, or if you're willing to wear more than one badge and look a little kooky, that's okay, put your legislative district number. That's a good thing. Then they know there's somebody in the audience who's their constituent, who's got their butter. I've heard state legislators say that especially in communities like ours, where we have people who represent several districts, they might come to a big gathering and they don't even know if there's anybody who's their constituent who's in the room. If there's a way for you to convey that, that's very useful to them. Then they know, those guys have my butter. That's really important to them. Okay. So you're ready for number five. And by the way, on the handout, you're also going to see on the back my version of a little 60-second speech that I think everybody should make up and memorize in their heads. And you're going to see that it just has five things on it. And you want to have this ready so that anytime you run into any elected official, you've got it ready.
You stick out your hand and you make your little speech. You practice it on your dog, you practice it on your family, you practice it on total strangers so that it just comes out really easily, right? Your name and that you live in the district, that's the first thing. Just like I did when I walked around, hi, I'm Nancy, I live in your district. Even if you know them, you can remind them, don't forget me, I live in your district, hi. If you're part of a group, mention the group that's also associated with the issue, and if you know the number, mention it, like I did with how many people are in the senior center. If it's something that a lot of you care about, mention that. Third, what you came to talk about or what you want them to know you care about, just in a phrase. Not a long sentence, not a long paragraph, just in a phrase. By the way, I really care about making sure everyone has health care. Just so that that's what you want to talk about. Fourth, if it is during the session and they're voting, I want you to vote for or I want you to vote against. A former state senator once told a group, he said, you know, people used to ask for my support. Well, in theory, I could support anything. Now, if you want my vote, that's a different matter. Ask for my vote. Be very clear what you want them to do. And have something in writing that's got your name and address on it and your issue. And it can be a scrap of paper. It can be a brochure. It can be a position paper. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It's just so that they have some paper proof that you were there and that you had the conversation. It gets you into their system. That's it. And you'll see that's on the back of one of these pieces. You should make one up for whatever issue you care about, whatever position you care about. We ought to have lots more people conveying their views to our elected officials. Okay, so here's the last, the fifth bite-sized thing.
Talk!
Every January, I am surprised all over again by the fact that I know when Super Bowl Sunday is coming. And this is not because I care about the NFL. I do not care about the NFL. The only team I really care about is the Cubs, and I am just... It's been a tough week. It's been a tough week. But I've rooted for the Sox because Chicago deserves a win and deserved a place in the series. Okay. But every January I know when it's Super Bowl Sunday. Why do I know? Because total strangers talk to me about it. I'm standing on a street corner and somebody says, so who are you for on Sunday? I say the Cubs. It always cuts off the conversation really fast, right? That's the end of that. But you're standing in the grocery store line, and some total stranger says, so who are you for on Sunday? Whoa, this place is going to be empty on Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. Nobody here on Sunday. Right. Hey, better get beer now. Won't be any beer on Sunday. Yeah. Super Bowl Sunday, they'll be all out. Yeah, right. You can't escape it, right? Okay, so how about if we do that? You're standing in the grocery store line. My line always stops. There's always the third person up in front of me has to have something price checked, right? I used to sit there going like this. I do not have time for this. I can't believe this is happening to me again. It always happens. Now I don't do that anymore. I think advocacy opportunity. And I turn to somebody in another line and I say, hey, you look familiar. I'm sure I've seen you at stuff. Me? Yeah. Hey, have you heard what they're talking about doing in Olympia? No. Well, let me tell you. And you start telling. Oh, this is great. You've got two captive audiences, your line and their line. Fabulous. What are they going to do? Abandon their baskets? No way. You strike up conversations in elevators. Elevators are great. They can't get off. You talk to people at street corners. Total strangers. I was doing this one day in Pasco, and a woman said, are you married? And I said, no, why? She said, that's why. Okay. But the simple point is, that if there's stuff we care about, there are an awful lot of other people who maybe don't have it on their radar screen. We all have busy lives. If we talk about things, if we strike up conversations, you don't have to be rude about it, but if you strike up lots and lots of conversations, we can help other people understand why something's important to us. So that's the five things, and that's the story.
Find your legislators on the state capitol website, www.leg.wa.gov. or by contacting League of Women Voters. Now that you know you have butter, what do you do with it? Lauren Mohn, Advocacy Director, Washington State Office of AARP, discusses the do's and don'ts to optimize results in contacting your legislators.
I just want to review briefly some of the basics of state government, which operates pretty much like the federal government. There are, you know, you have your legislative branch, your judicial branch, your executive branch. The, you know, Christine Gregoire is our governor, just like George W. Bush is our president. We have a House and we have a Senate. Here, we have 49 legislative districts in the state of Washington, and each legislative district has two members of the House of Representatives and just one of the Senate. So you got 98 people in the House that you have to deal with and track, and 49 in the Senate. So sometimes dealing with the Senate is actually a little easier because you can keep track of them. When a bill is introduced, like this essentially bulk buying bill for prescription drugs, that's when we talk about the RX purchasing consortium, all we're talking about is bulk buying prescription drugs. When a bill like that is introduced, it goes through a process. First, you have to find a sponsor for your bill. Then once the bill is sponsored and introduced, it'll be assigned to a committee. The committee process is fairly straightforward, except that there are two kinds of committees. There are policy committees and there are finance committees. So the policy committees are things like judiciary and healthcare. Almost all of my bills go through healthcare. And then the finance committees are the budgeting committees, I should say, are the Ways and Means Committee in the Senate and the Appropriations Committee in the House. And they deal with crafting the state budget, and they deal with any bill that has a fiscal impact. So if it's going to cost money, it goes through those committees. Now, this bulk purchasing bill did have a fiscal impact because we have to put a little money into it to actually get the program up and running. So a bill like that, you find a sponsor like Eileen Cody, get it introduced. It goes first to the House Healthcare Committee. We go through all the hearings there, no problem, because Eileen Cody's the chair of that committee. So it zips right through. And then we go to the House Appropriations Committee, where we make the case for the money. Helen Summers is the chair of that committee, not so much a zip-right-through kind of a gal. So we pushed hard, got it through. Once it goes through the two committees, it goes to the floor of the House and gets voted on. Once it passes the floor of the House, it starts the whole process over again in the Senate. So it doesn't have to be reintroduced, but it starts in the Senate Health and Long-Term Care Committee, then it goes to the Senate Ways and Means Committee. If it passes there, then it goes to the floor of the Senate. If it passes there with no changes, it goes straight to the governor. If there are changes, then there's some wrangling between the House and the Senate. There might be a conference committee where they have to argue about what's going to be in the final version of the bill. And hopefully you end up with some sort of compromise that gets crafted that everyone can live with that then goes to the desk of the governor to be signed. There's an old saying about legislation that it takes at least a year to educate and then a year to legislate. This means the most important thing in politics, I think, is establishing relationship. If you're a constituent, they're often happy to get together with you and have a longer conversation. If you go down to Olympia, you're going to get 15 minutes. But either way, try to be time sensitive. Try to understand. Incredibly busy, loads of pressures, and they're going to like you more and want to help you more if you keep your message simple and straightforward and let them go when they're supposed to be, you know, done with you. I know this is really basic, this next little tip about in-person lobbying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Courtesy is incredibly important. Another important point is to know what your message is and to stick to it. And just continue to repeat what your message is. The more you know about the topic that you're visiting on, the better off you are and the better able you are to talk about it. So as much as possible, do your homework. Be totally honest. Lying to a legislator is, if you're in a committee, is actually illegal. It's never a good idea, and it's not a good idea to just pull something out of your hat instead of saying, I don't know. Or whatever your priorities are, go and meet that person before the craziness of the session starts. Form a bond with them, make sure that they'll remember you. And then when you call during the session to follow up and to say, hey, how's that respite care funding coming, they're going to remember who you are. They're going to have this established relationship with you, and it's a good, good thing. The key to grassroots lobbying is to be concise. You have essentially 2 minutes on the phone, or you've got a paragraph or two in an email or a letter, and then you're losing their attention. An email to me, I think, after talking to legislators, is just as good as a letter. So if you have computer access and you prefer to communicate that way, that's fine. A letter also has tremendous impact, especially if it's a personalized letter and not just, you know, that you've copied down a form letter that someone has sent you. And there is a toll-free line that you can use to call your legislator and leave messages. And if you're a constituent, they really will call you back. Or at a minimum, a staff person will call you back. And if you ask that staff person to make a phone appointment with a legislator, generally speaking, if you're a constituent, they will do it. So I just really, really, really want to encourage you not to be in any way intimidated by the process of lobbying. It is really very simple and very easy. The first tool is a website. So if you have computer access, it is the website for the state legislature, which is www.leg.wa.gov. This website will do just about anything you want it to do. It's a phenomenally good resource. You can type in your name and address and find out who your legislators are. You can type in a bill number, and it will bring up that bill number for you and tell you every single thing that's happened on that bill, how everyone voted on it, every amendment that's been passed to it. If you don't know the bill number, you can go in and type in some keywords, like type in the word prescription if you're looking for something on prescription drugs. It will bring up every bill that has prescription in the title for you. So that's an incredibly powerful tool. There is another really great tool at the legislature, which is a 1-800 number. So if you don't have computer access, this is a great resource. Organizations like AARP, if you're interested in healthcare, there's another great organization called Washington Citizen Action that's just phenomenal and does phenomenal work. There's a group called the Alliance for Retired Americans that also does very, very good work that's sort of union-related. So if you have a unionist background, you'll really enjoy them as well. I love those guys. So there are all kinds of groups out there that you can hook up with, interest groups, who will help add their voices to yours and help make your voice more powerful.
A panel of current and former city officials share how to influence local government, what specifically works well and what doesn't work. From left to right, Mary Alice Burley serves on the Kirkland City Council and was mayor from 2003 to 2005. She'll explain the process involved in making your voice heard at the local level. Larry Springer is a former Kirkland mayor and city councilman. Now representing the 45th district in our state legislature, he will talk about his experience and how to impact legislators. Doreen Marchione is the Hope Link director and former mayor of Redmond.
If you have an interest that you are passionate about, that passion will carry over, and it will be infectious. So if there is something that you feel very strongly about, then act on it. What is the worst thing that could happen? Nothing, which is what will happen if you don't act on it. So go ahead. Research the issue. Bring the background. Bring what led up to the point of view you are taking. Why are you here? And what is often overlooked, but it is a critical element in your presentation to a legislator, is to anticipate what the opposition will say about your idea. Because no matter what idea you have and no matter how good it is, somebody's going to oppose it for some reason. So try and figure out what that is and be prepared to share that with the legislator. There are many times when people have come to my office with a great idea and had no clue what the opposition would be, and neither did I. And then you're surprised by that opposition, you know, 3 weeks later, and you couldn't prepare for it. So try and figure out where the opposition might come from. So research it, know the opposition, and then be prepared to tell the legislator exactly what you want from him or her. What do you want me to do? Is it simply a vote on a bill? Do you want me to write some legislation? Do you want me to amend a bill? Do you want me to just start thinking about an idea for next year? Be very clear what it is that you want me to do. It is important that you call and remind me of what we talked about. Your lobbying can cause a legislator to think about voting in a way that they didn't think about before, because so many times you're going to come with an idea that we don't have a position on, haven't thought about it. And if you do that and the legislator sort of adopts that point of view, it's harder for that opposition to come and change that point of view. So it is difficult to change votes. much easier to create a vote in the first place. If you have a really good idea, and I get emails from people on the Kitsap Peninsula, and they may have something to do with car admission standards. If it's a good idea that really intrigues me, I'll respond to them and follow up on it. I'll probably follow up on it with their own representative, but don't hesitate to branch out to neighboring districts around you. Sometimes, you know, particularly early in the session, because we have a little bit more time then. But it's important to do that, because if your idea is good, it's going to cross district boundaries.
First thing I wanted to just talk about is you need to believe you can make a difference. And certainly we see this in Kirkland all the time. Where else are you going to have such close contact with your elected officials as in a city? Where else are you going to be as familiar with the issues? You know, you may not know about the Federal Reserve policy, but you sure as well have opinions about what should happen downtown or what tax you should pay to the city coffers. And where else is it easier just to come on down to City Hall rather than go to Seattle or Olympia or, heaven forbid, Washington, D.C.? And I think when you're thinking about, if you have a thought, something you want done, the thing you always have to remember is it takes four votes of the council to get what you need. And if you're advocating for something with the city, you need to keep that in mind. It's no one council member or even two or three that are going to make it happen. You have to be able to convince four. And Ben Franklin, you know, had a lot to say about this. He said, first of all, you have to persuade others to your point of view, and that takes patience and endurance. And I think that's something to remember, because often people are won over very slowly, so you can't expect immediate success. And he had some, what I call Ben's tips for success, and you've heard some of them already today, but I want to say them again because they're so important. First of all, you have to be clear in your own mind what you want. And that's kind of sometimes the most difficult thing. You need to identify the problem you want to solve. You need to gather the information. And we have a lot of opportunities here. We have a city staff that's very accessible. I know city council members, some of us seem to live in coffee shops talking to citizens. All you have to do is call, and we'll make an appointment to have coffee, and happy to sit down and talk about whatever is concerning you. You know, you have to choose the proper forum. And that's something to keep in mind, that you're choosing the proper forum for what you want to accomplish. And I think the most important thing to remember when you get in the political arena, it's all about relationships. It's all about establishing a working relationship with the people that you want to influence. That's why it's important to get to know your city council members, your legislators, or whoever it might be. And it's easy in this town to do that. You know, when things get really difficult, whether it's Tent City or Lake and Central or whatever issue it is, you try to remind yourself that in the greater scheme of the world, and when you relate this to some of what is truly, truly important and some of the really serious things happening in the world, what you're dealing with here is, you know, it's important, no question, but boy, it's not world peace. So keep your sense of humor. And I think the other thing about politics is a saying that politics is the art of compromise. And I think whenever you get into an area where you're trying to get something passed, if you're not willing to compromise, it's got to be your way or the highway, that's a recipe for failure. And you have to understand there has to be some give and take, and that's really critical. And I think patience. Patience, patience. You know, democracy is not very efficient. I always love the quote by Winston Churchill where he said, many forms of government have been tried and will be tried in this world of sin and woe. No one pretends that democracy is perfect or all-wise. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. And I think that's what we need to remember.
Set your sights high. All kinds of exciting things could happen when you make your voice heard. We'll close with Chuck Morgan, honored senior citizen, who with Bill Woods instigated and carried out a grassroots movement which culminated in the building of our Kirkland Performance Center.
I'll go back to Bill and I. We did not build this performance center by ourselves by any means. We may have generated the idea, but we got other people sold on the idea, and they did it. I think that listening is one of the attributes that one has to have to be active in the community. You're not going to find out what's going on unless you listen to everybody. that you possibly can, and you listen and you hear other people have ideas. There's an idea. Why don't we work together on it? But Kirkland is my town. It's my city. It's my passion. I want to live it. I want to do something for it. You have to be gentlemen and ladies to get your points across, and we each of us do it in our own way. Education and culture and education are all part of my passion, and I'm fortunate that I'm still on my feet and still going, and I'm going to keep going.